You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
These are the times that try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, the people have rallied bravely whenever the rights of men have been threatened. Today, a new crisis has arisen. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
People think I'm controversial, but the truth is, I'm a nice guy. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
I'm upset, outraged, and angered.
Everything you said was all a lie?
What I say is what I say.
Okay, I want a damn concerted effort. This a god last damn time. I want somebody to use his brain.
This is a job for
John Peterson
and
Marty
Young.
You're from the 60s.
I will tell you, this is going to be something special.
Just a show about nothing.
I don't have any answers for you. I don't give interviews. I just want to be left alone.
Ponderous, ponderous.
Man. 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson, Gordy Young, producer Dom Lee with us on this very last day of July, and it's going to be beautiful except for the smoke and the haze and the breathing advisory. Don't go outside because it's awful, apparently.
It's severe. A severe warning.
Huh? Yeah, it went from an advisory to they ramped it up. So just be careful if you have breathing problems. But highs today in the mid-70s. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo Mattress. A lot has changed since 1958. Some things have stayed the same. In Verlo's history, they're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Go to Verlo.com.
You know, it looks like I'm just going to have to put off my little run.
What do you mean?
In downtown Middleton today. You know, I was going to do my best Sylvester Stallone thing.
Really?
You know, I was going to get up on the steps of City Hall for about three or four steps.
It's not exactly like Philadelphia. But...
No, but, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it was an effort. It's, you know, it's consciously something I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, because of the severe smoke warning now,
yes.
I'm just going to have to put it off another month.
I guess so. Just stay home.
A month again.
A month?
Next month.
Okay.
It's a few hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this text. I thought people at Harvard are smart. If they bend the knee and fork over $500 million, Trump is truly just come back for more. That's right. He's going to come back
He'll come back for more. Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't he?
He will get mad at whatever they're going to do next and ask for more.
Yeah.
So
demand it.
That's what it's really all about. Now let's get into... let's get into the church key real quick here, because this we've been getting text on this, and it is going to stay open.
They had announced, you know, we had the big announcement on Monday.
That's right. We had 100,000 calls lamenting the loss of the church key and all of the other clubs that have closed down, and suddenly, because of us, the listener reaction, they decided to stay open, right, Gordy?
That's all because of us.
Because of us, yes.
Yeah.
And I think
they changed their mind.
The public panic made them think that way, too.
It's true. I've never seen more text on the text line before than that day.
Well, and apparently they had shut down to remodel to sell the place, right? They were going to upgrade.
Is that what they're doing?
That's what I read. Yeah. But now they're just going to finish up the remodeling and reopen because they got all this public reaction.
Yeah.
So they discovered, hey, we still have some fans out there. Just get them back in here and we'll be okay.
Not only that, they want to reopen by August 28th for the first UW Badger football game.
Well,
they're making big plans, man. This is it. So thank you, everybody, for reacting and keeping the Church Key Bar and Grill open.
Right. Very good. 10 minutes past the hour. Hey, let's open up the phone line, 608-879-8255. Dick is on the phone this morning. What do you got for us, Dick? Good morning.
Oh, real quick on the church key, I always had a little problem with the fact that a real good friend of ours' father, his visitation was there back in the early 70s.
Mm.
It was a funeral home.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But to the excuse of the day, Trump with the Epstein thing,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just one little word was so out of line and nobody picked up on it except the late night people. When he was asked about, you know, had he been to that Errol Flynn Island or whatever they called it.
Yeah, right.
And he said, no, I hadn't had the pleasure.
Right.
The pleasure? I don't know who said it, but Colbert, I think, said it. It was classic. He goes, well, I haven't had the pleasure of dining with Jeffrey Dahmer either.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the
why
pleasure.
Why didn't somebody pick up on it and say, pleasure? Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, a little Freudian slip.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah,
that's all.
All right, Dick. No, thank you for pointing that out. Yeah,
all right, Dick. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Again, 608-879-8255. All right. Coming up in a little while, we'll talk to Jim Santel in our next half hour, attorney at law.
Yeah. Now let's get to gerrymandering. You know, Texas is deciding to gerrymander now.
Yeah.
In the middle of the decade,
right,
where people don't normally gerrymander because they want to pick up about 5 seats in the House,
right,
and keep their majority there.
Yeah, just let's do that, and then we've got the majority again.
It's not so much an agenda and people supporting that agenda and saying, hey, you guys got some great ideas and we're going to compete. But no, instead, they're just going to do it the easy way, and that is to gerrymander.
Yeah, steal now, them.
Like they did here in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in this state, the Republicans insist they did not gerrymander. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
But it's not a gerrymandered map at all.
But I did see an interview with one of the Democrats in Texas last night that they were thinking about doing the same thing that the Wisconsin Democrats did, actually leave the state so they don't have enough votes to have a vote.
Yes, a quorum.
A quorum, right.
All right.
Yeah. So that's in the works, too.
Okay. Let's play something from one of the representatives from Texas, a guy we play awful lot on this program. It's James Tillerico.
Okay.
And he's had this. Oh, what?
The voice note? We got a voice note from.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You want to do that one?
Okay.
Play that first.
That voice note. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Let's go to that.
Hello, guys. I wanted to bring your attention to one James Tillerico in Texas. He's a liberal pastor, Democratic legislator down there, and he might turn Texas blue. And I love that he's flipping the argument and he's taking it to this abuse of the Christian faith that the Christian nationalists and MAGA are doing. So, yeah, look into him. He's a rising star. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. That's Matt out in Middleton. Mm-hmm. And let's listen to Gavin Newsom's comment about that. He's the first guy that reacted to this whole idea of gerrymandering in Texas.
We're trying to play by one set of rules, and these folks on the other side have played by a completely different set of rules, so much so that the President of the United States called Greg Abbott and told him, in essence, find 5 additional seats so we can rig the election next year and maintain the power and authority with the House of Representatives, which de facto amounts to no power, no authority, complete capitulation so Trump can continue to run roughshod over our rights and liberties. We're trying to play by one set of rules, and these folks on the other side have played by completely different set of rules, so much so that the President of the United States called Greg Abbott and told him, in essence, find.
Now, here's the thing. There's a little problem with California maybe trying to do the same thing.
Oh, really?
Newsom's plan faces an independent commission in the Golden State that has maintained authority over redistricting since 2011. So they've got an independent commission doing the redistricting. So they have to convince them to go back in the middle of the decade
really?
To redistrict. So it becomes a little and it's independent. So they don't have to do it. In fact, they would rather not do it because it's independent. They're trying to maintain some separation between the influence of politics in doing the redistricting.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom's really starting to speak out quite a lot. He's got his own podcast now, and he's got guests coming in and really going. Yeah, in fact, here's a cut of him a few days ago talking about how Democrats have got to get out there.
Yes.
Got to fight back. So let's listen to that.
I'm sick and tired of being on our heels, got to be on our toes. It's not about, you know, fighting back. It's about leaning forward, and it's about setting the tone and tenor. I'm sick of this party needs to wake up. These guys aren't screwing around. And I say this not in literal sense, but they're assassins when it comes to the way they weaponize grievance and the way they play politics.
Yeah.
Enough. I mean, what more damn evidence do we need? I mean, they've rolled back the last half century in real time. That's just 6 months.
Right.
Can you imagine this guy having an additional 42 months with no system of checks and balances, no oversight? I mean, seriously, the hell else more evidence do you need? This is an existential moment. And so Democrats, if we want to have a party, if we want to be functioning, not just as a party, but as a democracy, if we want a system of checks and balances, we believe in the rule of law, if you believe in popular sovereignty, this is not about popular sovereignty. This guy wants to wire. He tried to break this democracy, try to light it on fire on January 6th. He just made a call to the governor of Texas saying, in this case, not find me the votes, but find me new seats to rig the game. If we want to still be in this game, we need to disabuse ourselves, disenthrall ourselves of the status quo in the past. We have got to enter a new mindset, and we've got to get back on this playing field, and we've got to do it with the kind of vigor that our kids and grandkids deserve, that liberty and freedom deserves this moment, the founding fathers deserve, the principles that define the best of Roman Republic and Greek democracy. That's on the line unless we stand the line and stand guard at this democracy, and that means we got to go on offense. No more defense. Go on offense. Fight fire with fire. So you ask me, am I in? I'm all in. You ask me, am I committed? I'm all in, committed and resolved. And so this is not a bluff. This is a moment to be held to a higher level of accountability.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That's Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
California. He's fired up. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of talk about what the Democrats can do, the positions they should take, and, you know, I'm getting bored with it all. You know, it seems pretty obvious what you should do, and that is to tell the truth and make a plan. We've been talking about on this program for a long time. Promise universal health care.
Yeah.
Get rid of all these little things that, by the way, they're being weaponized now. They're taking healthcare away from people to punish them, to make them do what they want for this particular administration. That's the bad part of using healthcare as a weapon against the public. So if we get universal healthcare, they can't do that anymore, period. But at the same time, let's face it, by the end of this four-year term, we're not going to have the government we knew for the last two centuries, right?
Right.
I mean, it's going to be gone. So what we need to do is promise how to rebuild it.
Come up with
not
a plan.
Sustain what we had and go back to what we had, but rebuild government and reconstruct it. And if we came up with a plan of doing just that, and I think that's important as well, that should be our agenda. Universal health care and restructuring the government to become more efficient and better serve the public at a lower cost, and giving public government programs the initiative that that they need in order to solve our problems.
Let's see. We've got a call on the line, but we don't have time for it. But hang on the line there, 608-879-8255. We'll get to that in a moment. And coming up in our next half hour, Jim Santel, attorney at law, will be with us. But you're right, John. I mean, the Democrats have got to do something, and they've got to get together and, you know, maybe have a convention or something, you know, where they get all the
they need youth,
all the leaders and the up and coming leaders. Yeah, they do need youth.
They need new ideas.
They need new ideas.
And I've got an idea on that, and we'll get to that in just a few moments.
We'll explore that coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning here on WMDX Madison.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Appropriate song. We'll be all goose steppings, you know, in this administration.
Sure.
Three more years. Pathway. Ooh. WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning with Dom at the controls. Mm-hmm. We also have Brittany Merlot waiting in the wings.
Standing by. It is 7:23, and it's going to be a pretty nice day all in all. Much cooler, not as humid, highs in the 70s. We'll talk to Brittany in just a moment. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They are helping people change their lives. Their goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. Check them out at MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. You can do an initial hearing test then. Call them at 608-249-4077. That's MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. Oh, hang on a second here.
Emergency. Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
Okay. Brittany Merlot has joined us now. What is the big news? Yeah, does this have anything to do with the air quality? Brittany, tell us what's going on.
I don't even know. Can you hear me through this cloud of smoke?
I don't know.
Wow.
It's awful.
I can't even see you guys.
I know. Tell us what's happening.
This is not healthy. This is very, very unhealthy. Oh, my gosh. We're in an air quality alert, right? We've seen this for a couple of days now, but it is so thick all across the state. We're all in that red level, about approaching 200 AQI, but up in Green Bay, Door County, Northeast, Northwoods, they're in the purple, very unhealthy levels.
Really?
I'm seeing pictures right now where you can't even see very far. It's thick of smoke.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Well, I have a severe alert on my Samsung official weather watch, and it's looking bad. It's looking bad.
Okay. So
my weather window's definitely saying that, too. Yeah.
So people that have breathing issues should just...
Wait, we gave her a weather window. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So supposedly this is going to expire at noon, but I really do think that a lot of this smoke is going to kind of linger through the evening.
Yeah.
Should be out of here probably 8 or 9 o'clock completely, I hope, fingers crossed.
Okay.
Because I've had enough of this. But the DNR, Wisconsin DNR, has mobilized some of our personnel and trucks and stuff, and they are going. They're already in California, Canada, stuff like that. So they're helping out in different areas, but it's not going to...
Yeah.
House it, right? We still have to breathe this in today. So okay. I've got an air purifier. I've got that set up in my house. That's helping me.
All right.
When you go outside, pretty rough.
Okay. Well, otherwise, than that.
Yeah. But what happens on the next few days here? We must have good news here.
Yes. Good weather on the
way. Very, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Still comfortable. Highs today, 75 degrees. We're still looking at mid-70s tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Upper 70s on Saturday and flirting with 80 degrees on Sunday. And once this wildfire smoke is gone, there's nothing but sunshine all day. Today, tomorrow, and all weekend. No rain in the forecast, nothing like that. So we're good to go with all our outdoor plans.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
see,
that's
good news. Maybe Trump was right. You know, with all this smoke now, how are those solar panels going to work? We're going to be... out of energy pretty soon.
But the windmills will pick up the slack.
The windmills, yes.
Right?
And they're grinding out the flour. That's great stuff.
That's
right.
Flour and the grain be fine.
All right.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You have a
good day.
We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yep, you too.
It's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist, doing a great job.
Okay. Before I get to my solution to the problem the Democrats have, let's go to the phones.
Ah, yes.
We've got Mark on the line. Mark, what do you got for us?
Good morning.
Yeah, it struck me when I had the dog out for his walk this morning and listened to Tim. And the attack on education, I mean, there's nothing new for conservative governments to go after educators. I mean, that's why they went after Socrates, because they said he was corrupting the youth by making them question their government and thinking rather freely. That it is just... with Trump doing this stuff, the attack on education, the attack on democracy itself, and it's nothing less than that, because these guys do not believe in democracy, and we have to confront them. Mm-hmm. Any of these people, Republicans and Democrats, for that matter, that are not criticizing Donald Trump for doing this stuff, you know, telling the universities, oh, the anti-Semitism. What about the anti-Semitism in this country that kept this country from accepting Jews that escaped the fascists in Europe, mm-hmm. you know, back prior to World War II. I mean, and the anti-Semitism has been going on for, you know, thousands of, you know, a couple thousand years, apparently, when the Romans, you know, just, you know, sacked Jerusalem and caused the first diaspora. That it is just beyond me that we don't recognize that. And for they're not criticizing Jews necessarily. They're criticizing the Israeli government, which is a whole separate thing.
Yeah. Well, we're looking at them weaponizing anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
They're just saying that in order to attack the universities. This isn't anti-Semitism. This is just protesting. There may be a few people out there who, you know, are saying some really bad things, but we can't paint everybody with that paintbrush. And that's what they're doing. And then they're going after the funding to these colleges in order to make them kowtow to their line. And it's just being used as a weapon. That's all it's being used for. It's not anti-Semitism in any kind of movement whatsoever, all right?
And let's remember that Trump never did criticize. He said, oh, there's good people on both sides for the guys who are saying, Jews shall not replace us. Well,
that's
what the Nazis did, and Trump doesn't care.
And the Nazis support Trump.
Yeah.
So there's a reason for that as well. Thanks, Mark. Yep. Appreciate the call.
Mark, thank you for that call. All right. It is 7:29. When we come back, we'll be talking to Attorney Jim Santel. And this portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Check them out. Verlo Mattress, 2 Madison locations, East Side and West Side. Just go to verlo.com. Back with more of John and Gordy on WMDX Madison. Next, Jim Santel.
WMDX, John DeGordy in the morning, and it's a smoke-filled morning.
Yes, it is.
We're bumping into each other. We can't see the car in front of us.
Yes, it's hazy, but it's much cooler out there, and highs in the mid-70s today, and we will see some hazy sunshine through the day.
Yeah, that's a group, isn't it? Hazy Sunshine.
Hazy Sunshine. They were big back in the 70s. They toured the East Coast a lot, and... played a lot of college campuses. Don't hear much from him anymore. Let's see. Should we go to the phones first? Jim Santel standing by here, attorney at law, but we have a call here from CJ. Good morning, CJ. What do you got for us this morning? How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. And Mr. Cannoli, thank you for taking my call, too.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you talk about the Democrats' problem. I don't think they have a problem. I want them to keep doing what they're doing, going that further left road. Mm-hmm. We see it with anti-Semitic statements. The colleges,
they're not there.
The mayor running in New York won't denounce the globalization of Antifa. And... I think it's just beautiful. You guys keep going. I love it.
Well, I say to you guys not to keep going. Get out of the way. We're coming, and no one's going to like your agenda, especially after everything takes hold. You know, the tariffs. It's so much fun to watch you guys.
Yeah, the tariffs.
You guys are welcoming the tariffs, paying higher taxes for the goods that you're going to be buying at the store.
Yeah.
Amazing. You were complaining about inflation a little while ago, and now you're ready to pay more money because we're going to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Well, they're tariffs, basically. Right. It's a value-added tax, you know. That's what it's called, a value-added tax in the European countries. Go ahead.
You know what I say? Buy American, guys. Okay. Buy American.
Oh, that's it, yes.
Then you don't have to pay the tariff, right?
Well, that's true.
Buy American, gentlemen. Every time you look at those labels, when you go to buy a new car, when you know what? And now the European Union You make fun of the tariffs.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to sell Cadillacs now in Europe.
Well, that's a great fit.
Cadillacs.
That's a great fit in Europe.
I'm sure they'll love them over in Europe,
and
the caddies.
Keep going left.
You know, you know, CJ, I can't wait till we have Tennessee olive oil. You know, for some reason, it just. All right, CJ, thanks a lot. CJ. We got to get to our guest, Jim Sentell here, but I appreciate the call.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, welcome to the program. We got so much going on legally, and I think tomorrow marks a big day in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Let's talk about that.
Yes, tell us about it.
Ann Walsh Bradley, who's been on the bench since 1995, 30 years, a tremendous tenure on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She is concluding her work officially today, and Susan Crawford gets sworn in tomorrow as the next newest chief justice, not the chief, but the justice of the Supreme Court. She joins a bench that is, for demographic purposes, we should account. It has six women and one man, and diverse, as we know, from terms of perspective. The departure of Ann Walsh Bradley, as much as the continuing judges, justices, and the arrival of Crawford, all significant. But Ann Walsh Bradley has been an icon in this state for entire tenure, major decisions, and is also one of those people on the bench, whether it's a circuit court, an appeals court, Wisconsin Supreme Court. She is a good person. She's a serious person, but she is also a good person in terms of always asking, what is the right thing to do? How do we analyze this in a way that makes sense under the law? What are the facts? And regardless of where you come from, what your perspective is on life, whether it's politically, partisan views, that's the kind of person you want on the bench, someone who applies the rule of law. And she has been just that. We celebrate her today. She is going to, obviously, she's going to continue to be a part of our community, just not on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, effective tomorrow.
Yeah, well, one of the big races next year, of course, we'll be talking about the next Supreme Court race. And it's not so much I want to see more liberals on the bench. I just can't understand what's her name? Rebecca Bradley.
Oh.
I've never seen anybody more partisan, more unqualified to be on the bench than Rebecca Bradley. And that, you know, that's not hard to say. I mean, we had some bad people. Gableman, who lost his license, he was on there at one time. So, you know, this is going to be a great race to check out, especially against Rebecca Bradley, who was very partisan prior to her being on the bench. We knew all about her. She really hated the gay community. She really hated liberals and Democrats in editorials that she wrote for the university newspaper. I mean, all of these things are documented, and she has actually done that on the bench. She's been very partisan, called, who was it, Governor Evers, I believe, a tyrant for, you know, asking people to stay home during a pandemic.
Right, right. And those issues, to all of that, to that list, you add that last point, John, which is language, right? When we look to judges, again, we anticipate, as I said with Ann Walsh Bradley, that they're going to be doing their jobs. It means something when judges speak as they do, and they set the tone for the state, they set the tone for the country, and you can disagree, as our United States Supreme Court does, as judges, justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court do on a regular basis, and you can write about your disagreements and explain those. The ad hominem attacks, the nature of the language, and the ways in which he describes the behavior of government officials, other members of the bench, all of that is beyond what you would anticipate from any justice on the bench at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is shocking almost just to hear her describe the race that I... Let's listen to this cut. This is... I don't exactly have that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, I had a cut from Rebecca Bradley. I kind of lost the number on that one. But anyway, let's move on to some of the other things that you want to talk about here. There's a lot going on, actually, so let us know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I think that, you know, as we think, maybe this is all judges morning. Maybe that's what we should be talking about, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Got this... I believe, and I think most people looking at this believe this to be, once again, a very self-focused move, got our president through the Treasury Department, think about that to begin with, who's imposing sanctions upon the Brazilian, yes, I didn't get that wrong, he's in Brazil. Mm. He's presiding over the trial, the criminal trial of Jair Bolsonaro. What was he charged with by a charging authority? They're in a foreign country over which we've got no jurisdiction, right? What was he charged with? He was trying to put together a plot. And the initial indication is an awful lot of evidence just to support his attempt, again, to stay in office. This was in 2022. And that matter going to trial in front of this particular judge in Brazil, by the way, that issue, that subject should sound familiar, right? Right. And because of that, my president has always endeared himself to Bolsonaro, again, no longer in the position of leadership there. And just the past day or so is now through his Treasury Department sanctioning this judge for his handling of the case involving Bolsonaro. Could you imagine if, name your country, name the head of any country out there, whether it's France, North Korea, Australia, you name it, Thailand, who would be sanctioning a judge in America because of the way that she or he is handling a criminal case in our jurisdiction.
Yes, yes.
It's stunning. And of course, again, it's just a part of this general attack on the judiciary everywhere and anywhere. But it is stunning once again. He's also imposing, speaking about tariffs, as you were just doing, we basically have it in for Brazil these That's days. Right. And that was his subject matter just a day or so. But this judicial matter, again, it is stunning to use our government to try to impact legitimate judicial actions of another nation. And that's what my president is doing this week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Talking to attorney Jim Santel, it's 7:44. Jim, what do you think about, closer to home here, this whole brouhaha about the Epstein files, and she wanted to go, Ghislaine Maxwell wanted to go to the Supreme Court. Did that get knocked down? Have they decided they're going to hear something on this case?
I didn't check my news feed just this morning, which could always change.
It could always change overnight.
But she's seeking review. She's filed all sorts of things, including a petition for habeas corpus, which basically means just release me.
Yeah.
I would hope that those kinds of things are going nowhere. The greater concern there, Gordy, is this entire undertaking with the deputy attorney general. He's sitting down with her last week in Tallahassee. Yes. It is extraordinary, first of all, that the second in command, he's responsible for administering the Department of Justice, that he's the one who personally is doing this. All kinds of reasons why you don't want that to happen. You want an agent to do it if you decide to do it at all. But ask ourselves, what is the end game here? Mr. Epstein himself has killed himself. He is no longer here. She has been convicted that it can be under review. There are no further cases to investigate here. We know who the victims are. We hope that they're getting the support and the assistance that they need from the federal government, from the state government, everything out there. What is the end game here in terms of law enforcement? What is the case that you want to bring that has not yet been addressed here? And the answer is none. And so one asks once again, what is the Department of Justice doing? Are you doing gets back to this notion that this was a fellow who is the former lead counsel of my president during the course of that trial in front of Judge Merchan, 34 counts of violations of New York law. He has an attorney-client relationship. It continues to this day with the president. Those never go away. And everyone has to look at that and say the motivation for this is because the president looks to him and says, I trust you, although Mr. Blanche was not successful in getting an acquittal there, but I trust you, go down there, find something for me to seize upon. This is doing the president's own personal bidding to accomplish what? He's dangling pardons out there, perhaps as a way of doing what? Encouraging her to say something that's going to affect this case. There's so many questions. What are we doing here is the ultimate one. And the answer is nothing law enforcement related.
Mm. Yeah. There is one thing, though. You know, the tariffs are going to go into effect, the threatened tariffs anyway, tomorrow. But, you know, there is a hearing, I believe, appeals court hearing today in regards to Trump overstepping his authority to put any tariffs at all in place. So, wow, you know, after all of this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, we look at that thing we call the Constitution. Among many other things, it gives to the legislature, right? It's Article 1. There is pages and pages of lists of things that only the Congress can do or does initiate and then pursues and perhaps gets the imprimatur of the president at some point. But this is one of them, those kinds of things. Exactly. And we've got judges out there repeatedly in this area and others saying, government can do these kinds of things, yes, but it's got to be the right branch of government. It can't just be the judiciary doesn't do this, and it's got to be the right branch. It's the legislature. That's what the judges are saying.
Well, we're going to talk about how he's destroying the judicial branch in just a few moments with Bovey. We'll get more from Jim Santel in just a few moments. Amicus, the Law Review, right here on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Stay with us.
Never met Epstein.
No way.
Or touched any tea.
Someplace.
He's draining the swamp.
Real clean.
With Epstein's name off screen.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX. It's John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7. Check us out on the Civic Media app. Send us a text or a voice note. We have a text from Gary. Trump calling Texas about adding congressional districts sounds very similar when Trump called Georgia to find an additional 11,000 votes. Yeah?
Yes. Hearkening back to that.
Thank you.
752. Also, phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. If you're not sure what other people are saying because of loud background noise, or you have trouble hearing on windy days or noisy family situations, you can call Madison Hearing Aid Center for some help. Their number is 608-249-4077. Talk to Jim or Sarah. They will help you with your hearing. They've helped out John. They've helped me out, and they can help you out, too. Go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. Take an initial hearing test there, and then visit them at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. That's Madison Hearing Aid Center. Back with Jim Santel now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, Jim, let's talk about, I think I have the name, Emil Bovey, right?
I think that's right. Yes, okay. We know who we're talking about, right? Right. Emil, but again, I've hear various things, and maybe that's one of those things that we should confirm, because he's now going to be Judge Bovey, and he is going to be on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, confirmed by our United States Senate, not surprisingly, just this past week, and so he will be on there a lifetime tenure. He is 44 years old. That's very young, as all your listeners know well, which means he will be on the bench probably for decades.
He's scary looking.
Maybe other judge assignments as well, but he is confirmed. Now, this is the fellow who is responsible for all these, either directly or indirectly, all these firings of former prosecutors, those who prosecuted with Jack Smith, the cases against Donald Trump, those who prosecuted the January 6th insurrectionists. And it comes from Emil Bovey's pen and hand. He is also the one who notoriously will not use the word, but told a group of people, we now have more confirmation of this inside the department, when it comes to responding to federal judges who are telling you what to do, you can simply tell them F you.
That's right.
Right. This is him, that fellow. And it'd be interesting as a litigant, I'd not be me, others out there in the Third Circuit, if the judge now from the bench looks at an appellate lawyer and says, we need to have you do this, your client. What is your response? Among the alternatives now, we've got what Emil Bovey at least had suggested to Department of Justice lawyers. when it comes to handling the government's, the nation's, the public's business. We don't care about judges. Just tell them we're not going to follow what you do. That's the kind of person who is now going to be on the second highest court, just below the United States Supreme Court, one of about 11 or 12 of them, but still a position of tremendous responsibility for decades to come.
Yeah. Wow. Yep.
Okay.
Great. Boy, it's just insane to put somebody on who gave that kind of advice to the attorneys, you know, F you. I'm stunned. I don't know why. Why aren't we all stunned? Why isn't CJ stunned? Why isn't anybody stunned at this? You know, we're all stunned, aren't we?
And we talked about this a bit when Adam Schiff, during the course of Beauvais' confirmation hearing, asked him about those not public reports, but reports from whistleblowers. Now we've got at least two, maybe three people confirming the same thing.
Yeah.
Said, did you do this? Recall what now Judge Beauvais said, I don't recall if I said that. Well, and again, good Adam Schiff, former assistant U.S. attorney, former prosecutor, did not let him get away with that and said, you don't recall a conversation about how we handle controversies in court and this particular matter. You don't recall saying that just weeks ago. And the answer was, I don't recall, which is basically an affirmation that you said that.
Right? I remember,
and it's a way to avoid perjury.
Well, he asked that a number of times. I remember him also saying, recall what? Well, I said, what?
Yeah, right.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, it's just said, you mean you're going to make me say this all over again?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I know.
This is the kind of thing that, again, none of us did this, but when we were in the fourth grade and mom and dad caught us doing something bad with friends or even inside the home, the initial look was, what? No, not me. It was the dog. It was my sister. It was my brother. I don't remember. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And we should not, we maybe expect that of fourth graders, but we don't expect that of someone in the Federal Appeals Court of the United States of America.
Right.
Well, are we expecting the Supreme Court to have some other issue on the shadow docket for Trump? He has an incredible record so far of getting approval.
Anything else coming up?
He absolutely does. I was doing some inventory on this. Do you know that during the course of the Bush and Obama era, that's 16 years, two terms each, right?
Mm-hmm.
On behalf of the government, the Solicitor General, again, very different administrations, asked for emergency relief a whopping eight times, four of those granted. In Donald Trump's first term, he asked for it 40 different times.
Wow.
And by my count, we're up to 20 right now.
Yeah.
And so again, the issue is not only the shadow docket, but also the emergency nature, the urgency, what, to fire people, to basically go after the, again, as you indicated before, go after the courts in this land, to do all these things to stop government from happening that has been going on for decades, if not generations. And the urgency, apparently the Supreme Court also identifying and saying not only, yes, indeed, we've got to stop this terrible thing from happening that's been going on for all this period of time, and then also will grant you what you want, absent any description about why it is going to do just that.
Yes.
That combination is, again, not the rule of law that we understand in America.
Right.
Well, and then it makes the liberal justices sound like they're just whining and complaining all the time because the right doesn't have to say anything at all. Yeah. Right.
Jim, we have
to run out of things to say.
Yeah, and we've run out of time. Jim Santel, thank you for joining us.
And always a pleasure.
You can always listen to Jim's great show, Amicus, a Law Review, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up tomorrow, we've got Free Ticket Friday, four packs of Brewer tickets to give away. Also, Civic Media sports reporter Mike Clemens will join us and Savannah Tomei Olson. John?
And I'll tell my story about nearly catching the fly ball at the game.
Okay.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.